Well, the really cool thing about my project is if you do a search of that particular word, mine is only talk that comes up. So I'm going to wear that as a badge of honor. This project was a very applied project. I'm not going to talk about insects until the very last slide, but I think I'm going to set up a case for this being an excellent example of some collaborative research that can be done between folks that study manure and pathogens in manure and odors in manure and the insects that visit the manure and potentially transmit these pathogens across ecosystems. My collaborators are Amy Schmidt and John Loy. Amy Schmidt is an engineer at UNL, and John Loy, Dustin, if, for folks who know him, are he's a veterinary microbiologist, and it'll become clear exactly what roles all these folks play. So thanks for the invitation to talk, and let's talk about what PEDB is. That's that porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. It's a swine enteric virus. First appeared in the United States in 2013. They think it came over kind of in shipping crates from China. But it's a coronavirus-like, just like transmissible gastroenteritis, but genetically different. It's kind of similar to, I think it's the Norwalk virus, the one that gets the cruise ships all sick. And so it's super contagious. It causes terrible diarrhea, dehydration. All those poor piglets would be dead within a few days of exposure. Older pigs, of course, suffer poor performance for a considerable period of time until they get over the virus themselves. USDA instituted a mandatory reporting for this case since it was kind of sweeping through the country, and they started this in June 2014. Thousands of positive accessions in 35 states, over 1,000 different premises have been struck with this virus. The big take-home message is 900 million to 8 billion in lost to the pork industry because of this virus. It's horrible when some of these production systems come down with this virus, because there are literally hundreds, thousands of piglets that just start dying. And what do you do to try and deal with this problem as a producer? It could be very traumatic for those folks. So USDA has a monitoring program where if this happens, they need to work with veterinarians and diagnostic labs to establish that, yes, they did come down with this virus. But the big thing they need to do is they need to come up with a management plan to deal with this virus and to help prevent its spread. Usually this is, well, it's developed with a veterinarian, and it's tailored to meet individual production sites. And it focuses on both biosecurity protocols. That's like how people can come into a site. How does the virus arrive in a site? It might be arriving on a dirty truck where they load up pigs ready for slaughter and take them out, but there's enough manure that the manure serves as a source for infecting the piglets there at the site. So there's a lot of biosecurity protocols. But really, what they need to do is they need to figure out, okay, how do we handle cleaning up and disinfecting these huge production sites that are covered with manure and virus? So also, how do you handle not only manure in the virus, but also all the dead pigs? So this is kind of a grim sort of talk, but it does explain what folks have to deal with on a daily basis because of this terrible virus. A thimbleful could infect all of Iowa's 20 million pigs, about one-third of the U.S. pig population. So it doesn't take much for this to cause huge effects. Manures and mortalities, of course, contain enormous amounts of infectious virus. So how do we handle the manure and the mortalities to reduce the risk of virus transmission? My talk is we'll be talking about virus in soil, but I also have a section at the very end that talks about how do we handle the piglet mortalities, the dead piglets, and make sure that they no longer are infectious. So, survival in manure slurry, we figure that out a couple different ways. We use a PCR assay, which is a molecular-based assay, to detect the genes that are specific for this virus. And we also have a bioassay, which I'll explain what that means. That involves infecting actual animals with the virus and taking a look to see if they get sick. But the PCR assay is often used first as a first detection, and what we find is that it survives quite well in manures. Can survive out to 14 days at even high manure temperatures. They did a survey of barns in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa and found that even 4 months after they'd gone through all these protocols to try and clean up the site, the manure still in two of the sites still had infectious virus. And the sites that had the live PEDV, this porcine virus, generally had lower pH than those without the live PEDV. And that's what we have come to understand is maybe a real good way to control this virus. So pH seems to be very important. Now with humans, typically, you know, we treat manure, and in that manure there might be human viruses. And so when that comes out of a sewage treatment plant and we have the solids that have to be placed in soil, there's a specific protocol that the EPA does where they say, okay, you got to treat that manure with lime, which raises the pH. And what that does is that kills off a lot of the pathogens, the human pathogens that are in human manure. So it's a very simple sort of question is, well, can we do the same thing with these swine manure sites, treat it with lime, raise the pH, and perhaps kill off the pathogen? So in a series of some very short little benchtop experiments, we got raw manure from a site that had just broken with the virus. So we knew that there was PEDV in this site. We added lime to increase the pH to pH 10 and pH 12. pH 12 is the threshold for what human biosolids are treated at. So that's a high pH. And then we went in and we said, well, can we detect the virus using this reverse transcriptase PCR? And what we'd expect to see is some nice bands from virus. And so the positive control lane here on this PCR gel shows that, yeah, we detect the virus. It's not present in our negative controls. The nice thing is when we did lime it at these high pHs, we killed off all the virus. We were no longer able to detect it. It pretty much dissolved the virus, probably dissolved a lot of other things in the manure, but it did its job. What we've done since this particular test is we've looked at lowering that pH threshold, because 10 is you have to put in a lot of activated lime to raise the pH of a large pit of manure, which is typically underneath these houses. So if you only need to raise it to, say, pH 8, maybe that's enough. If you recall, some of those earlier studies found that the PED virus was persisting in low pH environments. So, and the difference between the low pH and the high pH was only maybe a matter of half a pH unit or one pH unit. And typically, in manure storages, if that manure accumulates and slowly decomposes, the pH naturally rises. But in fresh manure coming straight out of an animal, it's considerably lower, and that manure usually accumulates on a lot of the surfaces before it makes its way into the manure storages. The pig bioassay is basically the gold standard. If they get some of this manure that has the virus, they will come down with the disease, and we can see and monitor how that progresses in the animals. Now we take great lengths to make sure that we euthanize the animals when they get too sick, so that they don't get treated in an unsafe manner or in a harsh manner. But it does tell us, yes, there's virus there, or no, there's virus there. Because if you just do the PCR assay, it could just be free nucleic acids floating around that you're detecting and not actually infectious virus. So when we do this pig bioassay, we have control and we had the lime manure and we tested it out. And some of the folks that are in vet microbiology are able to do the necropsy on the different cells and look for the virus in the different tissues in the animals. And what they found is in the control pigs with the untreated manure that was positive for PEDV, they came down with the disease. But in the lime-treated manures, they were negative for infection. So liming did have a good effect. Raising the pH kills the virus. So So if we apply this manure to soil, the question is what happens over time if you didn't treat it? Can liming the manure prior to application inhibit the virus? We're going to try and figure that out. And does the soil type or antecedent moisture, that is the moisture level in the soil, affect whether the PED survives? Also climate. What effect does that have? Because manure happens in Minnesota and manure happens in Oklahoma. So we set up a big soil experiment where we had a couple different types of common ag soils at two different water levels. We also had manure from this PEDV site, and it says a CT of 26.46. What does that mean? That just means that we are able to detect a lot of virus particles in that manure. We also added quicklime to some of the samples, and at this point we didn't know that we could maybe get away with pH 8 or pH 9. We went full pH 12 for 12 hours. And then we added that raw or lime-treated manure to the soils. Then we incubated them over time to simulate a couple different climates where pig production is popular. And we also did things where we changed the temperature over time. And this typically would be the profile for people would apply the manure in the winter. It would be in the soil. The soil temperatures decrease, and then they increase in the springtime. So this was to mimic what happens. Also, we threw in, because the climate, you can have freeze-thaw events where the soil freezes, and then it thaws, and then it freezes again. That can affect a lot of bacteria and other microbes in the soil. It may kill them. It may actually take out competitors, so it could be a positive thing. So we wanted to mimic that also. So what we found is with the lime-treated manure, we recovered much less RNA from those samples. That's an indicator that we were really knocking out the microbial populations there. We also were interested in manure has ammonia in it, which is a valuable fertilizer. If we raise the pH really high, we blow off a lot of ammonia, and that's what this figure here on the right shows. If we simulated what would happen in a tank vehicle, so the manure gets pumped out of a pit into a tank, and the tank takes it out and puts it in the field. Typically, the manure is only in there for a short period of time. If we looked at the nitrogen loss from lime manure, we lost roughly 20% there, if you take a look at this initial concentration. However, if you treated a pit and let it sit out overnight before you pumped it out on the field, you could lose a lot of nitrogen, which is important to know for those for the producers out there that want to use this as fertilizer. More importantly, what happens to PEDV? Okay, so the way we measure PEDV and get an idea of how many viruses in there is this using a real-time thermocycler. It's a way of counting, say, the number of targets for that might be from the PEDV. So here, a low number means a high number of targets. It's kind of the reverse. So a low CT means that it amplified very quickly. And so in the 100% manure, we had a lot of targets. In 25% manure, which is what we'd expect with the way we'd set up the experiment, we had a CT threshold of 28. So it's less. I mean, lower number of targets, higher threshold, that's what that means. As we decrease the amount of manure in there, even lower threshold. Going across here, this is looking at the Minnesota incubations that we did, soil 1 and soil 2 at time 0, no lime added and lime added. And what we find is that in these soils where we knew we threw in PEDV, we were no longer able to detect it. So there was enough change in pH that it probably killed off the PEDV virus in that soil, which is great, because we don't want that soil for the farmers to go in there, run their tractors through that soil again, pull up PEDV and take it back to their production sites. Okay, how much time do I have left here? 5 minutes. Okay, so we're going to talk about mortality. What do you do with the dead piglets? Common things to do: you could bury them, compost them, incinerate, or rendering. Each of these have issues associated with it. Burial, maybe they survive in the deep soil inside the piglets for a long time, so that could be something where you could have it coming back. Incineration, that would be your top choice, but not very many folks have the capacity to incinerate a large number of dead animals. Rendering is typically what's done with large groups of dead animals. They'll come with a big truck, they'll throw the dead animals in there, and then they'll go to the rendering site. Problem is now that truck is contaminated and can contaminate other sites that don't have PEDV. So composting is an option. We know that with composting, you can get temperatures to increase in a pile to higher temperatures, and they found that that's also very good at sterilizing PEDV in these trucks. So when they're transporting the piglets around, after they're done dropping off the piglets, they'll take it to a big oven. They'll put the truck in the oven, and they'll heat it up to 150 degrees, and that will kill off any PEDV, and then they can allow it onto the next site. Biosecurity is a big issue for these things. So the folks that are in the project with me looked at composting, and they developed these nice bins where they could put piglets in with the ones that actually had come down with the disease that we used in the previous study. We used those dead piglets in this study and took a look at whether if you put them in these piles and composted them, whether you would have the virus broken down in that pile or whether it would hang out. So this is looking at the compost box, kind of if you cut down right through the middle of it. These little pink things that are a little hard to see would be the piglets in the pile. They'd be surrounded by sawdust, which is how you do the composting. But they had also a lot of temperature probes in here, so they could monitor and see how the temperature changes during the composting cycle. Now, it didn't get up to 150 degrees, which was the target temperature, but it got pretty warm. Results were is that the carcasses were about 60-80% degraded in the first cycle of composting. Some of the tissue and bone that remained after that would go into a second cycle of composting. And after that, they were 95% degraded. And there was some material that was still left inside these compost bins, but you can see there's no more piglets left in here. It breaks down, and that's how we handle mortalities on the farm. Were we able to detect any of that? Some samples included undegraded tissues, and they were sampled from both cycles of composting. Results indicated that we were not able to detect any PEDV in this compost. So, producers who didn't have a good idea, what do we do with the manure, what do we do with the dead piglets, with this research we're able to show them that yes, you can compost your animals and take care of that potential hazard in your herd. And with the manure, if you do some stuff where you raise the pH of your manure a little bit before you apply it, it takes away that threat. So that's kind of what I just said there. The one thing we do need to do with this soil and manure experiment that we did, we need to verify with the pig bioassay. So we have some of these soil samples where we incubated them. We don't test for the virus. We can't find the virus in the soil samples, but we do need to go in and do the pig bioassay to make sure that, yes, they are clean and they don't cause any kind of outbreak to occur. Now, here's where I'm going to talk about insects. And I'm sorry, it's just 1 point. 1 minute? Okay. So, it seems like these systems are perfect systems to demonstrate insect vectors because we know that it seems like what we've learned is the PED virus is actually pretty easy to kill. It doesn't like to dry out. It doesn't like to change the pH. But if you have a fly coming in and landing on fresh manure before the manure changes its pH and kills all the PEDV in it, that fly can then go to another site several miles away and infect that piglet herd. And that's often how these outbreaks happen. You have tight biosecurity, but then suddenly a site will get infected over here, and then another one way over here. So it argues that insect vectors are very important, and I think that's a part of that plan, that management plan that needs to be addressed at these facilities. How do you control the insects that may be hitting the infected manure and then taking it to nearby facilities? So, lots of folks worked on this, funding from a different couple of grants. Certainly Lisa Durso, who's here in the audience, helped a lot with the biosafety level 2 microbiology that was going on because you have to be really careful with this stuff. We also had biosystems engineering students and graduate students helping out. And finally, a lot of this work was done in biosafety level 2 vet facilities where they had the piglets and they would inoculate the piglets and then euthanize them. So that is all that I have for that. So if there's any questions or should we move on?
Yeah.
We can move on and we can talk later.